This is a replay of the Wednesday night, September 18th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. I'd love to hear from you. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Well, it's always in the news about how unaffordable housing is, and no doubt that's true. But here is a 24-year-old guy from Laguna Beach, California, who figured there was a way around it. He looked at the down payments of houses in California and said, nah, there's another way. Actually, it started a couple of years earlier, and I should mention that while he is from Laguna Beach, his parents were Finnish, so he had dual citizenship. He went to school in Colorado, but it was getting kind of pricey. And so in 2022, he realized, well, I've got Finnish citizenship, and went to Helsinki and was finishing his education there. You know, still thinking, I'm going to come home, I'm going to buy a house, absolutely out of reach. So instead, he bought an island. And yeah, for less than the down payment on the house, the least he could find for down payment of a house he wanted to live in was $34,000. He bought the island for $31,000. Now, what's interesting about this, of course, you might already be thinking this, is obviously it's unimproved land. You know that. Well, not only that, but it's seasonal land. It was sold as such. I guess come winter, it's probably under ice. I don't know. But nonetheless, he and his girlfriend from Helsinki got onto the island in June, discovered it was fully tree covered. They've been cutting it down and building a cabin. And at least in the summer months, they've got a place to live. I assume they don't need any of the modern conveniences. But as I was looking at this, I was thinking, you know, people are starting to think out of the box for housing. So have you ever thought about that? No, I haven't in years, but many, many years ago, it was the early 60s, the first time I heard about this, you know, good old government surplus sales, they were selling missile silos. And I took a look at this and thought, you know, there'd be a lot of space. This could really be good. What finally dissuaded me was that they were taking the elevators out. And so you wouldn't really be able to get down there very easily. And it looked like it was not affordable after all. But for a while there, I was getting ready for underground living. But have you tried anything or thought about anything? I'd love to hear about it. 888-876-5593. Laura in Willowbrook, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you, Laura?
Both are sounding good. Oh, I'm really good there.
All right.
I have a couple of songs that maybe I'd throw out to you, see if you might play them one of these days.
Okay.
But the first one, should I give you the question that I have for you about it, or the song first, or do you care?
I don't know. Give me the song first, I guess, so we'll see what we're talking about.
Okay. Well, hang on just a minute. It's by Will Glahe, I guess is how you say it, the Beer Barrel Polka. I did just think it's kind of a fun song, so I didn't know if you'd mind playing that or not someday.
Well, there's, of course, thousands of versions of the Beer Barrel Polka, being quite the standard, don't you know? But sure, I can get you a Beer Barrel Polka.
Okay, and the question I have about that song is, I was looking up, my current interest is now also finding one-hit wonders, which this is supposedly a one-hit wonders. How does Constance is the one hit wonder.
I wonder. Firstly, I'd have trouble thinking the Beer Barrel Polka was anybody's one hit wonder. You got to realize that this song is obviously nothing new, and it was originally Czechoslovakian, and I couldn't pronounce it to save my soul, but it's a 1927 polka that a Czech musician did, and then in 1934 they added lyrics, not in English, of course, but by World War II, that's really what caused it to take off, because it became a big drinking song, and so you had literally thousands of versions on it, and So with a number of different people writing it around the same time. Shapiro Bernstein, that's a large publisher, got the rights to the song in English. We're talking about something huge because it came out. It was framing the repeal of Prohibition. Initially, probably the real popularity of it in America came with the Andrews Sisters in 1939. But, I mean, everybody's recorded this, and to prove it, both Billie Holiday and Bobby Vinton have versions of the Beer Barrel Polka. You're talking about Will Glahe, and that was the instrumental version. It was on your hit parade. But I don't know that I would put that anywhere in the standard of one-hit wonders. Normally, when you're thinking I was going to explain to you what a one-hit wonder was.
I didn't remember who I originally heard it from, but I've heard it, like you said, just about everybody in the world has sung it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you just play any version one night, that would be fine with me.
All right.
And then, thank you for the explanation, because that you're right, though. It doesn't sound like a one-hit wonder.
No, not by any means. And remember this. Before you get to the popularity of records, when you're talking about things before the 40s, you're talking about sheet music for the most part. So it's not necessarily a question of how many records sold, but how much sheet music sold, because everybody and their brother had a band. And so, you're not going to get one-hit wonders out of that era. You're really talking about, when you're talking one-hit wonders, you're really talking about 1950 to the present.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you opened my eyes to this, is that you are so knowledgeable about so much. It's just totally amazing.
I don't know if that's true. And, somebody would argue that there could be 1940s one-hit wonders, and I'll give you there probably could be, but the phrase really came about after quote-unquote rock and roll came about, and it would be basically artists who had one hit that was huge and then never charted again.
Okay,
that's the definition. So, and it's odd, because some people, you'd say, oh, they're one hit wonders. They might have had a dozen more records that were really great, but they just didn't chart or didn't chart well. So it's sort of unfair. But you're really looking for the guy who climbed the charts and then never to be heard from again.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah.
Well, and one other one, just because it's September. I don't know if you wouldn't mind playing the September song one evening.
Okay. All right. I'll do it.
But yeah, the first song by anybody is fine with me.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank
we'll
you, Raleigh.
Sure
and
thing.
You, Jen, are great as always.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate the call. So sure. And of course, we also have, to the tune of the Beer Barrel Polka, the James Brown Polka, but we'll leave that where it is for the time being. And yes, got a number of your requests tonight, and I am playing them all, though I must admit on a few of them I cringed. Absolutely cried, though. What are you thinking? But nonetheless, you'll hear the first one, which is actually kind of nice, coming up in moments right here on WGN Radio.
Se você disser que eu desafino amor, saiba que isto em mim provoca imensa dor. Só privilegiados têm ouvido igual ao seu. Eu possuo apenas o que Deus me deu. Se você insiste em classificar meu comportamento diante musical, eu mesmo mentindo devo argumentar que isto é bossa nova, que isto é muito natural. que você não sabe nem sequer pressente. É que os desafinados também têm coração.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Stan gets Charlie Bird, this is Venato. It was Robert and Stickney who request that 1962 on Verve. And, of course, Antonio Carlos Jobim, as you would guess. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it is on mine. All right, so what do we have? Ruth and Gurney had asked me to tell you about my mold experience. I will, actually. And this was a second go-round. The first go-round actually happened in 1978 in Indianapolis, where I discovered that I had a number of molded album covers. And this was after having a tornado and water seeping in and all that stuff. So anyway, all the albums on the floor got wet. And as I was cleaning each one of them lovingly off, perfectly fine, by the third day, I started to get a runny nose. Well, I took a look, and my mucus by this time was just black. Yeah, just tar. And so I didn't think much of it. I continued to clean my records because, of course, I am an idiot. And then the fever started to hit, and I thought maybe I should go to the doctor. So it turned out it was mold spores. And to this day, my lungs are scarred up. Whenever I'll do a lung x-ray, they'll say, well, for a former smoker, I'm like, I've never had a cigarette in my life. It was mold spores. But all right, so had that, didn't think anything of it after a while. Well, the fever lasted almost a year, but nonetheless, hey, I was resilient. So in 2002, John and I moved to this house in Chadsford, Pennsylvania, very pricey suburb of Philadelphia. Nice, probably had 4 or 5 acres, nice land and all that. Had a well, and questionable turned out. But nonetheless, I wasn't so crazy about the house, but, you know, the property was just terrific, and the house was big, so I figured, what the heck. Well, about 2 months later, I'm looking out the front window at the beautiful land, and I'm saying to John, you know, I'm being attacked. My knee really hurts. And of course, John said, you're a drama queen. I said, isn't it the truth? And then I forgot about it. Well, it got worse. Eventually, I stopped walking. Now, it took quite a while to get to that point. But yes, I was first, I was unable to make transfers. In other words, if I was sitting down, I couldn't get up. And of course, at this point, you go to the doctor. And yeah, that's when you really descend into hell. And so it was that I was diagnosed with everything under the sun, from Lyme disease to lupus, none of which I probably had, but all of which I was treated for to no avail. Well, we had no idea, and this was months, and this was getting bad. So we wound up taking a trip. We went to Toronto. And after about a week, John noticed I was able to get out of the car, something I could, and I didn't even think about it, but I got out of the car on my own. He said, you know, this is something. Maybe there's something in that house. And so as the days went by, I started to feel a little better. I can't say that I was running and jumping, but I was feeling better. We get back to the house, and within 48 hours, I am not moving. It is worse than ever. Well, at that point, I think we both realized, you know, there's probably something here. And so the first thing I did, Ruth asked, how do you test for it? The easiest thing to do at first is get the little home tests that you can get at any of the big box stores, Home Depot or Lowe's or Menards, any of those, and go ahead, you know, expose it, and then you send it back. The tests are fairly cheap, but when you send it back, of course, that's when you're paying, and I don't remember, maybe it was $30 or something. It wasn't a lot. But anyway, I did. And the test came back, and it was just a horror. I mean, it was Aspergillus, it was Stachybotrys, it was everything you can imagine that would be classified as toxic mold. This was an issue. And so it was that we decided we had to move, but it wasn't easy to just move because I was broadcasting from that house as well. And at the time I was on XM and had a lot of affiliates terrestrial as well. And it wasn't just like you can just pack up and move. You got to find a place, you got to set it up, all those things. So it was probably 2 months, and we did move, and to a nice house in Melbourne. And at that point, I'd like to say, and I got better right away. Did not happen. Basically, I didn't get worse, but I didn't get better. Well, I wound up having to go to physical therapy for about a year, and had to basically, you know, learn to walk and all that. But it was from the exposure to the toxic mold. I also think, by the way, it was probably from some of the drugs they got me for everything else they thought that I had. But nonetheless, that was the deal. So I became overnight a believer in toxic mold because I didn't think anything of it. And looking back on it, you know, talk about lunacy. I I took a big mirror off the wall in the dining room of this place, and behind it, it looked like it was this black velvet, just, you know, big piece of cloth or something. So, of course, I get up there, and it's not. It's something, and I'm not thinking mold at this point. It's something that's connected to the wall somehow. So, of course, I do the really insane thing. I get Clorox. And so there I am, on my hands, breathing this stuff and cleaning this stuff simultaneously. I got it all off the wall, but I think I got most of it in me. And so that contributed as well. But the bottom line is, if you're having any type of health problems that are just nonspecific and you cannot track them down, don't necessarily rule out something environmental. And, you know, it's odd because in that particular house, John never really had any symptoms. It was all me. So move forward a couple decades, I guess about 15 years, and we rented this house in Arizona, and it was beautiful. There again, nice land, beautiful view. Well, of course, one part of the view was the world's largest copper smelter, I think, but nonetheless, it was very nice. Now, of course, the problem was it was an older house, and they probably never had changed the carpets or cleaned the air vents. I don't know. But I didn't have any problem. John started to get migraine headaches, and I'm not like 3 to 4 a week where he'd have to lie down, where he'd be literally inert. And we started going to doctor after doctor. There's not a specialist on the planet that we didn't consult, you know, some variety, from allergists to neurologists and everybody in between. And nobody could ever come up with anything. And we thought, we had no idea. And at that point, it should have occurred to us that maybe this is something that is, you know, in some way environmental. But the interesting thing there was, if you'd go away for a week, come back, there was no real relief. But what happened was, in rehabbing some of the properties we owned, we wound up moving to another property for a while we were doing the rehab. And 3 weeks later, John's headaches disappeared completely. And this is now years they've never come back. And so clearly that was environmental as well. So there's Ruth. Now you know the whole story in four-part harmony, Ruth. But the bottom line is, if you've got something nonspecific that you cannot rule out, the first thing to think about is maybe you have some environmental component there. All right, let's check the news, find out what's going on in the world at large, and get right back to it. And hopefully your call is coming up on WGN Radio. Well, I know you're saying, what on earth are you playing that for? It's a very good question. You normally know that I would never do that on my own. But what's stranger than that is that it was Jim in Richmond who requested it. All right, Jim, you like that record?
Yes, and later in that song, you can hear the saxophone.
Oh, yeah, you can. All right. Well, very good. I don't know what to say. I was a little surprised when I pulled that out. I thought, oh, my God, if I had ever pick a record I thought you might like, that wouldn't be at the top of my list. But it goes to show you never know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening to all the music that you were listening to.
Yeah.
And then when I saw that movie, both movies, I fell in love with the music, you know.
Okay.
And Eddie and the Cruiser 2, yes. Eddie Lives, is a better album than that. But
well, that is, by the way, from Eddie and the Cruisers 2, that particular cut, Mariah.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
All right. Well, now you've heard it. And so what happened today with the eye doctor?
Okay. It started out that we had to leave. I had to get up at 5, and he had to get up at 4:30 or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And by the time we got there, you know, watching the sun come up in our eyes because it takes almost an hour and 45 minutes to get there. So we got there, and we had to wait. Three patients ahead of us, and that wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I said, he schedules his appointments all 5 minutes apart.
Right, of course.
So, right. So yeah. I'm in there trying to explain to the girl, when you first go in, you see,
yes.
you know, three different people before you see him.
Exactly.
About the problem with the eye drops that were burning my eyes.
Right.
And she, how do you spell it? I said, I don't know how to spell it.
Oh,
well, do you have the bottle with you? And I go, no. And I couldn't read it off the bottle anyways because
right.
I really didn't have
right,
vision at
so.
All that morning,
yeah.
you know. And so finally when we got that settled, then they went in and took pictures of my eye. And I go, I know the guy Victor because I've been going there like every month
right.
for like 3 years.
Right.
And I said, Victor, how does it look? He goes, it's swollen.
Oh.
So I was very upset because the last 3 months he was raving about
yeah.
how my eye wasn't swollen.
Yeah.
So then I had to go sit in the office, and then I'm sitting in the office, and the girl that, you know, checks you in there, she starts putting the drops in my eyes for a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And but they haven't determined what shot to give me, you
right.
know. So then when he finishes with the other people, and he comes in, and he looked at the computer to see the picture of the eyes, and he goes, I don't know what to do. It's swollen again, you know? And I said, yeah. And I said, my vision is worse than it's ever been.
Right.
So he goes, yeah. And so then he goes, we're just going to have to give you the Kenalog,
okay.
the steroid.
Right.
So I turn to him, and I go, with the steroid shot, will that make my brain bigger?
Oh, jeez.
And he didn't get the joke.
No, yeah.
You know, because I have to joke when I'm
right.
scared.
Right,
know?
Of course.
So then, he walks, he says, I don't get it. The Vabysmo didn't work. I gave you two shots of it. It didn't work. So then he goes visits other patients because she's got to mix up the formula,
right,
you know.
Right.
So I'm sitting in there, and then I hear him going, he talks so loud, and all the doors are open. You can
right.
hear everybody sees.
Right.
So he goes, and the next patient, he goes, well, looks like the Vabysmo shot didn't work. We're going to have to figure something else out. And then he says, come back in, you know, a couple of weeks, and then we'll try another thing.
Mm.
And then he goes to the next patient, and I hear him go, oh, the Eli, you know.
Yeah.
The HD one you see on TV, the
okay.
Well, I can't think of it right now. He says, that's supposed to last 4 months, and it doesn't look good. So we're going to give you another shot, but we want you to come back in 8 weeks instead of 16 weeks.
Okay.
And going on. And then he came back in, and he goes, Aaliyah, that's the name. And then he goes, comes back in, he, you know, to give me the shot, and he says, turns to the technician. She says, we have to call and find out if we can get Aaliyah approved again because I haven't had one in like 5 months.
Right.
So he gives me a shot of Aaliyah.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, okay, we'll see you in 4 weeks. So I did that. Well, after he told me a while ago that when he gives you a shot of Kenalog, which is a steroid,
right.
the cloudy drops.
Right.
I mean, injection.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to my brother when we're walking out. I can't see anything. You're
oh,
going to
no.
have to lead me around. So,
oh,
you know,
God.
Then we took the long drive home. And then I get home, and I rested for a while and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then now my tonight, as I'm talking to you, boy, can I see better than I did the last 2 days.
That's great.
It's not great, but it's not great.
That's wonderful.
It's a lot better. It's not foggy.
Good.
So then we go, my friend, because Wednesday night is when she can take me shopping.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to take me to CVS in Janesville to pick up my drops that they wouldn't fill for the last several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked up those, and then we're shopping. So we're in the store. And I'm walking around, and I still have a little bit of the whatchamacallit.
Fogginess.
Dilating. Mm-hmm. So every now and then I'm walking down the aisle, I can see people in the aisles.
Right.
I can't tell you who they are.
Right.
And stuff. And she kept saying, stop. And then the person coming down the cross aisle would stop. And she goes, oh, no, not you. It's him. He's blind.
Oh,
you know? And so then, you know, so then we're going and I know where everything is in the store.
Right.
I can't tell you. I can't see it. I mean, that well. But I know what aisle, because I shop that store all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I go to her, and I go, that's it. I needed a new pair of blue jeans, and she found those.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, you know what? Go in the next aisle. I think I want one of those yellow vests that the construction workers wear.
Oh, geez. Okay.
She, what do you want that for? And I said, because of the fact that I have to explain to everybody that I can't see. Like,
right.
We go to the checkout.
Right.
I can't see. So I'm asking your opinion. I bought the yellow construction vest.
Okay.
Is it stupid of me to write legally blind on the front and the back of that so people understand?
No, I don't think that's stupid. I don't think that's stupid at all.
Right, because like in the parking lot, you know, she walks so fast.
Right.
And I'm dragging behind, and she goes, get over, there's a car coming, you know. And, you know, I can't move as fast as she goes. And I'm going, you know, maybe that's a good idea. And I just wanted to know is that drawing attention to my problem?
Well, I'm not too worried about you drawing attention to your problem at this point. You know, I mean, if you were in neighborhoods where you're saying, oh, my God, I'm walking alone and there's somebody who may take advantage of me, then I'd say, well, maybe that's not anything you want to advertise. But that's not the situation here. So
right.
I think anything you can do to have people be more aware is never bad.
Right, because like when we stopped at Kirk Trip and on the way home, and I couldn't see anything in the store, and
right.
My brother, he just jokes around with me and stuff. So we get to the checkout, and I'm, you know, paying for it with my debit card,
right.
And he goes, give him a break, he's blind, you
oh,
know,
geez.
And it's like, you know, and he says that was jovial, you know.
Yeah.
And I just, like I said, I just didn't know if it was a stupid idea with the yellow vest.
No, and the other thing is that the most important thing is your comfort. If you feel more secure knowing that you're making people more aware, then that's a positive thing.
Right, because when we're walking through the store, people, you know, zipping by, and mostly it's Whitewater university students, you know, and they're zipping down the aisle.
Well, sure.
You know, they don't understand that I can't see them coming.
No, they don't even think about it. So, yeah, sure. Well, try it and see what the reaction is. You'll know fairly quickly.
Right. Right. And but I just wanted your opinion on that.
Yeah.
And like you had the problem with the mold. That was what I told you about the other time with my sons and with the water, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So you always have to check your environment, you know.
Absolutely, yes. And water, that can be just, as your son found out the hard way, that can be really detrimental. So, yes, absolutely.
All three of them.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But I thank you for being interested in how it went today. And like I said, I'm sitting in the living room right now looking around, and I see a little bit clearer than I did the last week.
That's wonderful. Well, hopefully it will continue.
Okay.
All right.
I hope, and thank you for playing that song.
Oh, sure. My pleasure.
It raised goose pimples on your arm. So.
All right. Well, very good. But like I say, I was very surprised, but you never know what someone's going to like. So there you go. All right. Thanks.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Don and Beloit and Sherry in Naperville, and there's room for you too. And right now, I know if you listen to me, you like radio. Yeah, or you wouldn't be able to sit through the show. And if you like radio, probably like me, you were disgusted years ago with the quality of how bad reception had gotten on radios. period. It just was awful. Well, when Bob Crane heard that, he determined he was going to do something about it, and boy, did he. And today, a couple decades later, he has a company, the C. Crane Company, that in fact has tons of radios and radio-related products that are just one is better than the next. And all of them have the one thing in common, that they have great reception. The CC Radio 3, the almost everything radio, because it's got Bluetooth as well, and it sounds so great, but it is wonderful for long-range AM and FM reception. It also has emergency capabilities like NOAA weather and the 2-meter ham band, which is a lot of fun. Comes on an included power cord, but you can also put a set of batteries in there and get 170 hours of listening. So that's neat. And if you're listening primarily for voice content, that might be worth the price alone, because audio quality for the spoken word sounds terrific. And there's separate bass and treble controls, so you can adjust it to your perfect pitch to immerse yourself in audio clarity. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio 3. It's the one that John keeps by his bedside. He loves that Bluetooth feature. But if you're just looking for great AM and FM, and a clock, a timer, alarm, a dial light, it's the perfect bedside companion. It's got everything. You'll see the CC Radio 3. Now, if you can't go online for some reason, you can call them because they've got the best customer service. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions. You can order by phone, or if you want them to send you a hard copy of the catalog so you can look through it first, they'll be happy to do that free of charge. So, 888-876-8863. That's me. No, 800-522-8863. That's the C. Crane Company. 800-522-8863. 522-TUNE or ccradio.com. Ccradio.com. You look at the CC Radio 3, you tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
They passed an ordinance in the town. They said we'd have to tear it down. That little old shack out back, so dear to me. Though the health department said its day was over and dead, it will stand forever in my memory. Don't let them tear that little brown building down. Don't let them tear that precious building down. Don't let them tear that little brown building down, for there's not another like it in the country or the town. It was not so long ago that I went tripping through the snow out to that house behind my old hound dog, where I'd sit me down to rest like a snowbird on his nest and read the Sears and Roebuck catalog. I would hum a happy tune, peeping through the quarter moon, as my daddy's kin had done before. It was in that quiet spot, daily cares could be forgot.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, that's Billy Ed Wheeler. Yes, Ode to the Little Brown Shack Out Back. And that's actually his biggest hit. It got to number 3 in 1964 on CAP, but he was quite a prolific writer, and probably the most familiar to you might be Jackson, that Johnny Cash did with June Carter. We Got Married in a Fever, Hotter Than a Pepper Sprout, yeah, that. But there were many more, and the list of people who have recorded Billy Ed Wheeler songs is just almost endless. Everybody from Judy Collins to Nancy Sinatra and the Kingston Trio and Jefferson Airplane, all right, and on it goes. And he was an interesting guy, actually. He was born in Boone County, West Virginia, and graduated from Berea College there, and wound up, after the Navy, going to the Yale School of Drama, majoring in playwriting. And in fact, he co-wrote The Hatfields and McCoys, which has been performed annually since 1970 in the West Virginia Theater in part of the New River Gorge National Area. And that's royalties every year. And so, sadly, I'm telling you this because he died. 91 years old, though, a long life in North Carolina at home. So rest in peace. Billy Ed Wheeler, Ode to the Little Brown Shack Out Back. Carl is a first-time caller, and he is in Chicago. So, Carl, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, how are you? I'm doing bills. I always listen to you every night when I'm doing paperwork.
Thank you.
You hit on something that I don't know if a lot of people know, a lot of people are getting into now. Where I work, a lot of people are retiring.
Uh-huh.
They're getting into motorhomes.
Yeah.
They're sick and tired of the mortgages and property taxes, and I think I might be jumping into it myself.
Uh-huh.
They sell their homes, whatever. You know, ATMs are everywhere, and they're having a blast. They're driving all over the place, visiting, you know, museums and that. There's, I don't know if you know Walmart.
Sure, you can park there.
Right. You mm-hmm. can park there, for they're smart, because right. what are you going to do in the morning?
Right.
You're going to exactly. get up and go spend yeah. money.
Yeah.
So you can hook up at Walmart for free. But these guys, if you go on the internet, there's actually like clubs.
Oh, absolutely there are. And,
well, there's people taking a regular van and making it. It's unbelievable what some of these people could do with a vehicle.
Oh, you're 100% right about that. And you know, the prices range. You can do this from very affordable to there are some of these that are like $350,000.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen some of
yeah.
them with three bathrooms. You know, yeah, it's fairly amazing. Now, the one thing, there are a couple things you have to be prepared for if you're going to do this, depending on where you are. One is winter weather. So plan your locations, you know, accurately so that you're not, you know, not
sure.
in Duluth in the middle of winter. But the other thing is you really need to be reasonably healthy. And
yeah.
therein is the real kick there. But if you're reasonably healthy and you want to do this, it's just there's another thing a lot of people are doing who aren't doing the RVs. They're living on cruise ships, and they're finding out that it is less expensive to live on a cruise ship than it would be to pay for like assisted living.
Yeah, I had a friend retired. 10 years. I still have the paperwork. He gave me some press. Well, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to Miami. He was renting a room with his friend or something.
Right.
I'm like,
right.
well, from a house to a single room guy?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, he's going to be working on a cruise ship.
Right.
I guess he dumps garbage cans or something. I'm like, really? I get to live on a ship.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I
well,
never
right.
thought of that. He goes, the ship's my
yeah.
house.
Yeah, if you can work, that's fine. But even if you can't work, there's a number of people who are living on them literally as cruisers, but at a reasonable rate.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's something, though, sure.
Yeah.
The other thing is trailer homes. You don't pay taxes on trailer homes. I don't know if people know. You just pay the lot fee.
That depends
but, I mean,
on
what. You got to be picky where you're going to set up roots because some places are not all that you know great. So.
And that also depends on what state you're in terms of the taxes.
Yeah.
Because that does vary.
I'm in Bucktown in Chicago, and just to give you an idea, we got our property taxes, and this is what makes you think to do crazy things like this, but something enjoyable. You know, again, once you're settled with your income. Property taxes here, 6 months are $11,000.
Uh-huh.
And it's going up. It's just people are leaving like crazy left and right.
It blows me. I have a friend in the suburban Chicago area. And, you know, he's well-to-do, but even so, it's not like he's Bill Gates. And he pays $45,000 a year in property. And
out the window.
Right. And I'm like,
you're just opening a window and throwing that money out the window.
I'm saying you do not own your house. You're renting it. You're renting it from the city is what's happening here. Can you hang on a minute, Carl? I got the news.
A lot of people don't get that. I tell people, I'm a property owner. I don't pay rent. And I always, my parents were in the HUD home.
Yeah.
And I always, not to, you know, scold anyone, but I'm like, you don't pay rent?
Yeah.
Like, no, I own my house. I'm like, well, so in other words, you're living for free? And, like, and of course, I'm leading them on. They're like,
right.
I'm like, so, well, where do you live? Because I want to move where you live. Because so you don't pay property taxes?
And they're like,
well, yeah. I'm like, well, what do you think that is? Divide that by 12. That's rent.
Exactly. I'm so glad you called.
You don't own the dirt the house is on. Some people just don't get that.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. Thank you for calling and do it again soon.
Yeah, listen, before we go, you are a doll.
Sometimes
I hear the callers calling and the patience you have. I don't know how you do it. I just want to let you know, I am listening. And I go, how does she have so much patience?
I'm grateful for their calls, just like I am of your call,
yeah.
and I'm going to hold you to it. Call me again.
I will. Bye
okay,
now.
Thanks, bye. And the news is coming up on WGN Radio.
leaves you hurt and feeling sad. Only memories of a tainted love. Night and day, you just lie there in your sleep with the pain you don't want to keep from the loneliness in your heart.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, she's considered a one-hit wonder, not for this song, obviously, but Freda Payne, Band of Gold, her big hit in 1970, turns 82 this week. Happy birthday, and she's still with us and very big on the Northern Soul scene. In fact, it was Ian Levine and Edwin Starr who wrote that for her, and Royal Oak produced that. Yeah, Northern Soul record. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. Don is in Beloit. What's up tonight, Don?
Hey, I was doing some things and I couldn't quite hear it, but you played that Bossa Nova song earlier, right? That João Gilberto?
It was a request, Stan Getz and Charlie Bird's version of Desafinado.
Okay.
Yeah, Jobim wrote it, obviously, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't quite hear it because I was busy doing some stuff.
All right.
Well, you know, you might be happy in the Southwest, but, you know, Duluth in winter is really a lot of fun that you're missing out on. Sorry.
Yes, I know Duluth in winter. Yes, the first time you drive across Lake Superior when it's frozen solid is a real kick.
It is. On a bike and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I have done some stuff like that. That's true. I've got Division I in hockey. You got a lot of rinks. You got museums. And they've got three curling clubs to just hang out and drink a beer and play that. I've never done that. I've always wanted, like, when I got really old, I was going to learn how to do curling and have fun.
Okay.
Well, I did not quite hear what the sources were as I was sort of trying to listen. Your source is a mold. Like, I didn't really care. What was the cause? Like, you had moisture?
No. Well, firstly, I wouldn't know because I rented the house long after the mold was there.
It was your
big problems, all of them, and they got to me. So that was the deal with Ruth wanted to know about that.
Well, I take these things very seriously, and I've helped out on so many jobs, you know, like that. But I'm an environmental engineer, and our new modern houses are so tight and everything that it exasperates when we're trying to save money and energy, you know, by battening down everything. You know, we're in this sealed off thing and our indoor air quality just goes to hell.
There's a bigger problem, as you know, if you've been doing this, and it's not as prevalent right as much as it was, say, 15 years ago when they were importing the wallboard, the cellulose wallboard, which was just mold heaven for everybody in the Southeast.
Yeah, there was contamination. I'm very familiar with that and how to recycle gypsum scrubber sludge and making stuff like that. Yeah, there was batches of this and that, and it was from overseas, and I followed some of that at the time, and formaldehydes and insulations and horrible plastics that give off gases.
Everything, even carpets. I mean, you have to be very careful what you're buying, of course.
Ozone at the fans and dehumidifiers is generally, great to move stuff around. But if you got to do something, a lot of times ozone, having your own little ozone machine really is interesting because you can just refresh your whole place as long as you're willing to, like, move out of it for, like, a day or something and let the thing cool off and air out for a while. But it really does make quite a wonder. Well, I go around everywhere with a P100. I knew long ago that I got tested. I was super sensitive to molds and stuff. So I wear a big pink magenta respirator cutting my lawn and all these jobs I've had, like at power plants and coal power plants. I always wore this P100 everywhere. Okay. And I wear them all. I wore it today cutting my grass.
Okay.
And I just wanted to emphasize that it's bad out there. And that's one way to make sure that you're not going to breathe it.
If you can do it, more power to you. They're not the most comfortable things in the world, you know, basically, as far as that goes. But, you know, yeah. I guess if you're aware of what you're protecting against and you're saying, hey, I like it better than I would being exposed, then go for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. One thing that you didn't talk about that's really, like, causes illness is radon. Like, in the Midwest, West, it's so bad. And people don't realize they got it. It's so easy to test for it with your own little patch and so on.
Right. Well, firstly, it wasn't, you know, an extensive conversation. It was just what happened to me and mold. That was the whole topic. But radon is, of course, can be a huge problem. You may not know it for 25 years, but the big thing about it is if you think you've got the issue, you want to test because it's absolutely odorless and you will not pick it up on your own.
Yeah, yeah. What really blew my mind when I was a young man was when I realized that people that have wells, you know, like the radon can be in your water, of course, underneath your house if you have some well, let's say. And if you have a shower, that is a giant, like, radon emitter in a situation that could just really cause major illness.
Yeah. Well, water, you know, as far as that goes, in many cases, it's not regulated, and there's wonderful things about that, but there can be all sorts of things in well water that can get you. There was so much copper in this same well water that I had at this mold house that it literally turned John's golf shirts that were kind of a salmon pink color, turned green splotches everywhere. You're like,
wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, we're bathing in this?
And it's in your backyard, right? Your big open pit mine.
Yeah, so you know, that absolutely. But yes, radon can be a problem, and it is in private drinking wells in many cases. And the problem is radon can occur very naturally. And so it's not so much as an environmental toxin that's been added to the environment. Like many, many places, it's there. It's as natural as can be. So
it's natural, right?
Yeah. So if somebody wants to test for it, you can.
Well, it's like a flag. You know, you people don't look at these things like, oh, well, that house looks great. Well, it's got a crawl space. That crawl space should be a flag to you. Like, whoa, it got a crawl space. It's open to the soil. The earth could be breathing in my space. All this natural emitting radon. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And of course,
exciting,
if you know,
really exciting topic. I'm sorry you went through all those trials and tribulations, both of you. That's horrible.
It happens, but I think the only takeaway that matters is if you're suddenly plagued with a lot of things that seem to have no origin, by all means consider that you've got an environmental toxin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Nice chatting with you again. Always. Thanks for taking my call so much.
Yes, always. Thanks good to so hear much. From you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right.
Care.
So, indeed, 888-876-5593. I must admit, I don't think too much of radon because, you know, if you're not planning to live more than necessarily 5 to 10 years, you say, oh, the hell with it. It's like at our transmitter when I'm always subjected to a lot of electromagnetic radiation. Do I worry about that? Not a chance. But if I were 50 years old, would I? Yeah, probably so. Or younger? You betcha I would. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio.
Oh,
been a favorite, but certainly a mood song. And Bob from Willowbrook wanted to hear it. That version, Sergio Mendez in Brazil 66, on the album with Masha Pinata. And Slow Hot Wind, it actually was written by Henry Mancini, the instrumental part of it, as Lou John. And that was the drum that they were using in that. And then later Norman Gimbel added some lyrics. And it's been in so many things. I say it's kind of a mood piece because you see it in movies. It's in The Big Lebowski, for God's sakes, not the Sergio Mendes version, but yes. So that's Bob's request, and now he's heard it on WGN Radio. And Sherry in Naperville has advice for Jim. So what you got, Sherry?
Hi, Riley. Sorry, I'm going to take off the speaker.
Yeah, it's our okay, usual deal.
Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Again, Jim, who I have come to respect him, and he, anyway, all his problems, and I have no idea about his problems because it doesn't affect me. But I will tell you this much. My stepdad had a cancer and whatever, and I woke up. I mean, I would get, like, these signals from the heavens above. I mean, not just then, but before that. I know it sounds weird, but
now,
I was always open-minded.
Were you getting these signals while he was still alive?
Yes.
Okay, now hang on
like
a minute.
Okay,
I'm going to leave you and your stepdad and the signals right there until we complete the news right here on WGN Radio.
Oh, that's fine.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Cece Peniston, and that was Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina, who requested it. Keep on Walking, 1993 A&M. And we're back to Sherry in Naperville. We left her stepfather, and the words from beyond. All right, so there you go. Sherry, you couldn't have left the phone again. You're not supposed to walk away from the phone during the news. All right, we'll put Sherry on hold, and eventually she'll get back to her phone, and we'll get back to her later. So, yeah, and we'll move directly on to Sam and Gurney. Welcome to WGN Radio. Sam. Oh, Sam gave up on us. He was going to talk about radon. All right, well, if you want to, do by all means call back. I believe that Stacy in Algonquin's up next. So, Stacy, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you doing?
I no longer know. How about yourself?
Well, with me, it's either one thing. I heal from one thing and I get something else.
What do you have?
I feel the same way like you do.
Yeah. So what's the latest malady?
Oh, no. I just... just one pill from the thing, from still the kidney thing that I'm taking.
Oh.
It just makes me so dizzy.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering, what is the next Law of Abundance day?
Okay.
The date, the time that we write the check?
The new moon is Wednesday, October 2nd at 1:49 p.m. Central.
October 2nd.
Yep.
And that was 1:49
p.m. Central Time.
P.m. in the evening.
Well, in the afternoon, 1:49.
Okay.
Yeah. like an hour after.
Oh, one in the afternoon?
Yes, an hour after lunch, 1:49 p.m., not a.m., p.m.
p.m., okay, yes. Wednesday, October 2nd.
Yes.
Okay, great. That, I just wanted to check on that.
Okay, good.
Check with you on that, and I hope you feel better.
Well, thank you, thank you.
I know how you feel.
Yeah.
You feel better, and then you get another thing.
It's always like that. Well, that's what life is about.
I know. But I will talk to you soon, and I just send you all of Stacy's blessings. And for the other people that called, Stacy's blessings to everybody.
Absolutely. We accept that, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay, you take
care. All right, good deal.
Bye-bye.
So, yes, new moon, that would be the afternoon, just a little after lunch, October 2nd. And you know about the prosperity checks, and if you don't, MaryAnnWinkowski.com, and you'll see Law of Abundance, and you'll see all about what the deal is. All right, now we'll see if Sherry got back to her phone. Are you there, Sherry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, very good.
Let me take off the speaker real quick.
I'm never prepared.
I always say that because I assume it reverberates.
Yes, well, it does. You're not supposed to be on speaker. All right, so very good.
Well, I do it to hear you because my PC is like 2 minutes behind you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, so I wanted to say that, you know, I've gotten some clues. I don't know if you want to call it biblically or whatever. But like when my stepdad was sick and he got chemo and he got these, what do I want to say? Because he had a parotid gland, which is your salivary gland. And he had chemo, and then he ended up with these frothy, big, like, dime-sized things on his tongue. And I would pray all the time, and then one morning, I mean, I would get these signs when I was asleep, including my sister, who was born in 1976, that she was going to be, not the word handicapped, what was it, retarded at that time. Mm-hmm. And would you still love your sister if she was retarded? And I said yes. And everybody out of the four of us wanted boy, except me. And I taught her how to walk. I taught her how to say my name. I taught her a lot of things.
Let's let's get back to your father and don't digress. So, all right. So you're getting what signs are you getting?
I woke up one day.
Yes.
In bed, and on the front of my mind was to tell him, because I had a neighbor next door that said, take these lemon drops, certain kind of cancer things. But anyway, I heard when I woke up from the angels or whoever, tell him to take olive oil, or a tablespoon of olive oil. So I scurried over to the house, which was like 1.3 miles away. I told my dad this, and this is what bugs me the most. When people say, I listen to what the doctors tell me. I mean, it bugs me.
All right, so anyway, you get to the house.
Yes, and he won't do it.
Okay.
But a tablespoon of olive oil.
Okay.
And like 2 months later, I read in the Chicago Tribune this little one-inch thing blurb that says, olive oil is a natural anti-inflammatory. So this is where it comes to Jim. Tell him to either cook or take a tablespoon of olive oil or black olives. All honestly.
Right. Well, it can't hurt. I don't think it's going to help in this case.
Hurt.
But it can hurt.
And the other thing, because I have mitral valve prolapse, if he's allowed to take fish oil, the ones that don't like, make you taste it over and over again for the next 4 hours.
Let's hold on a moment and go back to olive oil a minute. I don't know if you're aware of this, but probably 90% of the olive oil in the markets is counterfeit. And so what you really want to do is research to make sure the olive oil that you are taking is really olive oil, because literally 90% of it's counterfeit.
I have not heard of that. Well, how recently?
Oh, this has been for years. You may not be busy looking it up, but trust me, it's true. And you can research it for yourself. You want to make sure
they're okay.
They'll tell you the brands as well. But so yeah, John.
Virgin olive oil.
Yeah, right. And you can say extra virgin olive oil.
I mean, Christ even.
Yes, I understand.
Talk about
yes,
olive.
Yes. But if it's counterfeit, it doesn't much matter.
All right. Yeah. I also want to commend Don from Beloit. I think he's a gentle soul. He adds so much. He had so much intelligence. And he's not pushy or anything. I know, that's not the right word. He ingests in our lives so much information that we can digest without force. I love hearing him.
All right.
I think that's kind of like it, other than I'm going to be a mess this entire next 5 days because my aunt's getting surgery tomorrow morning.
Well, hopefully it will go well.
It's pancreatic thingy.
Well.
And it scares me. She's my favorite, and I love her more than my mom.
Well, prayers work. And so this is the time to talk to the universe. And prayers work, and we'll
I
keep a good...
I have been.
What is her first name?
Carol, and tell Cousin Jimmy, I talked to him the other day, but he didn't know anything about it, but she's going to be there at 5:30, surgery's at 7:30, and it's for 5 hours, and she'll be in intensive care for 2 days, and then in a room for another 2 days.
Well, we wish the best for Carol on her pancreatic surgery, and we will keep her in our prayers. Thanks. Good luck, Cherry.
Thank you so much.
All right. Let me know how it goes for Carol.
I'm afraid, but yes.
No, don't be afraid. Be strong and pray. All right.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, positive thoughts. All right, that's the way to go on that. Yeah, we don't want any negatives there. And so good luck to Carol. And that's always tough. Johnny D. is in Ohio. Johnny D., welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, D.L.E. I oil the olive olive oil.
Yes.
Listen. Yeah. What was I say? Thanks for taking my call, Raleigh. I'm sure you have thousands on hold and millions are listening.
Well, actually, for a change, I do have people on hold, but it's not thousands. But it's all lines are full.
Well, when I listen to Willie Cunningham, he's always got thousands on hold and millions are listening.
Of course. Yes. And it's always good to have a vivid imagination.
No, he's got thousands on Sunday night. So.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And millions are listening.
Undoubtedly.
You know, I don't know how many stations.
Mm-hmm.
Not just one.
No. You know.
Anyhow, the reason I called, and, patience is a virtue, Raleigh.
Mm.
One fellow says that you got so much patience, so you got to work. Mm. And Becky, the lovely and talented Becky.
Yes.
See, she'll be tomorrow night, Thursday night. Benjamin will be sleeping over, so I figured, let me call tonight.
Yes, right, while everybody's still awake. That's good.
While everybody's still awake.
Because when Benjamin's over, she's already sleeping. Well, you can only wake up her as opposed to her and Benjamin.
Well, if I wake her up, there's no problem because I'll say, hey, go back to sleep. Like that there.
All right.
But wait a minute. You got so many people on hold, I got to be quick or what?
No, I'm waiting. We're going to get to a point here soon. It's going to be a crescendo.
Here's the reason why I call. And by the way, thank you for playing Person to Person last night, the average white band.
Yes.
And Better Off with the Blues.
Yes.
Delbert.
Yes.
Now, anyhow, so the reason I called was because last night I heard you say to a caller, and the caller was talking about the trivia question of Monday night about 70% of countries having this law, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, they all have that law. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure you said it was a mandate.
Well, it's a law. You could call it a mandate or a law. It's a law.
Now, wait a minute. Let me interrupt you there. What is the difference between a mandate and a law?
Semantics.
Semantics.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. Okay. Just was wondering.
Yeah.
You want
to know the actual difference, for the most part, in the United States of America, as far as that goes. Governors issue mandates and Congress issues laws. But for the most part, we're using them interchangeably in the trivia question.
Okay. Was it mandated by a lot of governors that we had to wear masks during the COVID stuff?
Yes.
It was a mandate?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember. Okay. What else? I wanted to say, you also mentioned something being written in Czechoslovakia.
The beer barrel polka.
The beer. Oh, yeah, that takes me to the song I wanted to request.
Uh-huh.
Whoever, who was it, the beer barrel polka?
Everybody and their brother.
No. Who was the woman that requested it, the girl at the beginning of your show?
Oh, which version did she want?
No. What was her name to call her?
I don't know. I'll know tomorrow when Carol gives me my notes.
Okay. Because she made me think of a song I want to request then with that barrel polka. I want to request, could you do the Pennsylvania polka?
Oh, my God. All right. We'll do it.
No, really. Will you do that?
Yes,
the Pennsylvania polka?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Very mm-hmm. good. And I was just wanting to say that the lovely and talented Becky's father and grandparents came from Czechoslovakia.
All right.
And the lovely and talented Becky could speak some Czechoslovakian, right? Just like Donald Trump's wife, Melania, whatever her name is.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned some words. There's dobre.
Okay.
There, which I don't know what it means, but then there's Yakshi Mask. I don't know what that means either.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, what's the other one that I know?
They sound good.
Yeah, and Stara Baba.
Mm-hmm.
I know what that means. Stara Baba means old lady.
Oh.
Yeah, so well, I just wanted to say them words.
We'll get you the Pennsylvania polka, I promise. And as
the
always,
Pennsylvania polka.
Always an informative call.
Cousin,
we thank you.
My
for
cousin
this.
That won the Grammy.
Uh huh.
He used to play. Yeah, Carmen. Yeah, he played with Joe Fedorchik.
Okay.
Okay. All right then, Raleigh. Thanks for taking my call because I know you got millions of listening and thousands are on hold.
Yes, right.
Okay.
And right now,
bye-bye.
I got bills to pay. All right, and we're going to do that right now on WGN Radio.
There's a garden, what a garden. Only happy faces bloom there. And there's never any room there for a worry or a gloom there. Oh, there's music and there's dancing and a lot of sweet romancing. When they play the polka, they all get every time they hear that oompa-pa, everybody feels so tra-la-la.
WGN Radio. Yes, the Polish prince himself, Bobby Vinton, who couldn't help himself, had to record the Beer Barrel Polka on ABC in 1975. We'll find a better version for you tomorrow night, I'm sure. The original title of that song was Wasted Love, when they wrote it in Czechoslovakia. And all that and more is coming up next hour, right here on WGN Radio.
Got 9,999,999 tears to go, and then I don't know if I'll be over you. Sun didn't shine this morning, it's been raining the whole day through. Suddenly, without warning, somebody new. That's when the first tear
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Dickie Lee, 1977. 9,999,999 tears. And that was my RCA. And I played it because, fortunately, Dickie, who is still with us, has a birthday this week. Fortunately is that he's still with us. Whether he has a birthday or not, I don't know if that's fortunate. He's in his, let me get this here. I think he's in his 80s at this point. I know he is, but exactly what? Well, I had it in front of me before, but I think he turned 84. So happy birthday to Dickie Lee. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And I've been multitasking here during the news. Suddenly, one of the phone lines, not one that you are involved with when you call, 888-876-5593, but another one gives me no dial tone. Now, what's really weird is you can call in on that particular number, and it will ring, but when you go to answer it, nothing's there. And so I've been trying to track down what's going on with that. It will go to voicemail, so I guess that's something. But in the meantime, I'll forget about having fun with telephony and have more fun talking to you. And Dave in LaSalle has requests. So what do you want to hear, Dave?
Hi, Raleigh. I enjoy your program, as always.
Thank you.
I have a request. I don't normally call country and western songs in. I do like it. But I would ask if you would play City Lights. Either Ray Price or Mickey Gilley.
Oh, sure. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's a classic. So absolutely, we'll play City Lights for you.
Okay, thanks, and you keep it going.
All right, thanks for calling. So, 888-876-5593, which does ring and is answered. And that takes us to Fran in Austin. Fran, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, Raleigh, glad you're on the mend.
Yes, indeed.
So, I never thought I would hear the day that I would hear polka music on the Raleigh James Show.
Now, you've heard the James Brown polka, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, but I don't really consider that.
Oh,
I mean, it's a polka, but I don't really consider it polka music.
Oh, I think it's the quintessential example of polka music.
Anyway,
yeah.
I'm not a. Let's put it this way: the only time I like polkas is if I'm really drunk.
Well, and you know that they do tend to go together. There's a lot of history with beer drinking and polka, no doubt about that. But
yeah, because I like Weird Al Yankovic's polkas.
Yes, absolutely. Well, usually there it's the lyrics, but
yes, true.
But the reality is that depending on where you live, I mean, like Wisconsin, there are actually radio stations that are full-time polka stations.
Yeah, there used to be a show on in San Jose that. I can't remember what station it was on, but they played polka music and other, German music.
Yeah.
I had a friend who used to listen to that. But anyway, I have a couple of requests.
Okay.
No polka music.
All right. So the polka parade continues. All right. What you got?
No. No polka music on my end.
Okay.
I'm not putting down anybody who likes it. You know, it's just, everybody's got their own taste.
Yeah, we'll
no. Let's see. I would like to hear... The One Who Really Loves You.
Ah, yes.
And Come and Get These Memories.
Oh, good choice.
And I know you like this one, but I also love it. Who Do You Love?
Oh, I want to know. Yes.
Yes, I love the song.
Yes. Absolutely.
And just a couple seconds about little small houses.
Yes.
I read a book. Oh, did you have to go or something?
No.
Oh, okay. I read a book. I wish I could remember the name of it, but I read it a couple of years ago, and I've slept since then, sort of. But anyway, they talked about how people were getting out of houses and living in RVs and things, just like,
yeah.
You know, some of them modified school buses.
Yes.
And all these different things. And if I could drive... That'd be so cool because they have these places where a lot of, like they have planned meetups.
Mm-hmm.
And they sound really nice because you can go and be sociable with everybody or you can go back in your house. And if you go back in to your house, people will leave you alone. But if you come out,
yeah.
And there's a, you know, very interesting people.
Yeah.
In this book who were doing that. And I wish I could remember the name of it. It's such a great book. But, if I could drive, but then I don't know, because you'd have to be really, really you'd have to get along really well.
Well, unless you had a lot of money, because like I say, you can get really big things too, but it's not unusual that they cost $300,000. So you can go for the huge ones. But yeah, when you're talking about your average RV, yeah, it's going to be close proximity, no doubt about that. But the other thing is, depending on where you want to stop, I mean, let's face it, Walmart is fine, but you're not going to be able to, like, empty things that you need to empty and, you know, get running water and all of those things.
Right, so yeah.
When you start looking at what you're going to pay for services, it's not as cheap as you'd think if you're going to do this full time. And I've read a number of articles, and in general, they basically range from $3,000 to $5,000 a month that people are paying to do it, including everything.
Wow.
So,
well,
yeah, not
too rich for my blood.
Well,
that's for sure.
Exactly. So that's the thing. Now, again, it depends on how rustic you're willing to be. But assuming that you want to go to places that have facilities for you, and assuming that you want to be able to be in fairly decent places, it is not cheap. And the thing that I would suggest for anybody who wants to do it, not discouraging it, but rent one. And you can do that. It won't be necessarily cheap. Might be $1,000 a month, but rent one, say, for 3 months and see how you feel about it.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't do a big lifestyle change like that.
Yeah.
Zap.
Well,
but,
exactly. Yes. So.
I don't know. I might not be rugged enough for that, because I like my air conditioning and my running water and my, you know.
Well, yeah, I'm with you 100%. You know, I also used to say I liked maid service, but anymore, most hotels, if you're there morning and night, they don't give you maid service every night.
There is a great book about that, but if you read it, you'll never want to stay in a hotel again.
Oh, I'm sure that's right.
It's called Heads in Beds.
Oh, yeah.
And it's by this, you know, hotel, I think he was, he went through the whole thing, you know, he
right.
went through being a bellhop, being, you know, just all the different jobs and, you know, how they do things, and like, oh my God.
Yeah, and I just looked it up, Heads and Beds, Jacob Tomsky, and you can get the paperback for under $10, so all right. Might have to look at the Dirty Little Secrets. But yeah, ever since COVID, they've managed to basically do away with daily maid service.
Wow, yeah, I've heard that. I haven't really stayed in a hotel since COVID, but,
yeah.
You know, I've heard that that's...
Well, it was a slippery slide.
Even before COVID, we stayed in a hotel in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
We went to visit my mom, and we'd come in. They hadn't been in. There's no way they had been in to clean. The bed wasn't made. Nothing was done.
Right. Now, the worst part is, this has been now a number of years, they say to help the environment, they don't change the sheets every day. So even if they come in and kind of make the bed, which they don't do anymore, but they used to, they were not changing the sheets. Now, I always considered, if I've got to pay whatever it is a night, obviously the first night, everything's clean, supposedly, you know, that book notwithstanding, and all the little toiletries are there. But, you know, the second night, it costs you the same amount of money, but they don't replenish the toiletries, they don't change the sheets. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, change rooms every night.
Hey, that might work.
That's exactly how I do it. Make reservations one night at a time, travel light, and change rooms.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
But
yeah, unless you're giving me a discount, I should get the same little bottle of shampoo and bottle of whatever else the hell they have in there. I should be getting that every night.
Yeah.
You know, my wrap soap.
I have no problem with that.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. So, absolutely. But, yeah, I might have to get Heads in Bed, although, like you say, this might be terrifying.
The thing is, now that I hear what you're saying, it might be terrifying, because if it was that way then...
Yeah. Yeah.
What do we get now? So...
I don't know. Yeah, that's right. When did he publish this? 2016, so this was before the pandemic.
Ooh. Right.
Oh, this could be really interesting. Yeah.
But it's an interesting read.
Yeah, well, good to know. All right.
Leave it to me. I got nothing but time on my hands to read and stuff. So.
I think that's great. I'm envious.
And I'm learning to say no.
Excellent. Yes, yes, with force and conviction.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, I've always, you know, I've got, my friend says, friend, the problem with you is you have nice girl complex.
Ooh, yeah.
And I said, oh no, we got to get rid of that. We got to fix that now.
Right, exactly. Well, then the other thing you think is whatever it is, oh, well, that won't take me too long. And you realize that that's just a myth. It will take you damn near forever, whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Okay. Well good to that's talk about to all you. I got now.
Good to talk to you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. Bye. So 888-876-5593. We got Laurie in Chicago. She's got requests. James on the South Side. He's got stories. Yeah, too many murders, I'll tell you what. And of course, whatever's on your mind. I want to hear about it right here on WGN Radio. GN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and J.D. Souther, one of his two chart hits, although he wrote many, many more, now past tense, died yesterday at home near Albuquerque, and it was sudden. He was planning to go out on tour again next week, but not to be, obviously. I didn't hear a cause, but that was the deal. He had a recurring role on Nashville, that kind of soap opera drama series on television earlier, about 10 years ago, and I loved that. And he was on the first season, and then he was on again in the fifth season. I just thought it was a great little show. But nonetheless, if you're an Eagles fan, well, obviously you know J.D. Souther's work for sure, John David Souther. Best of My Love, or New Kid in Town, or Heartache Tonight, or, you know, on and on it goes. And a lot of Linda Ronstadt, too, who he was dating for a while in the 70s as well. And he was raised in Amarillo. And actually, he was one of the early people with his little group, the Cinders, that recorded in Clovis at Norman Petty's studios. And that was toward the end of Norman Petty doing very much, but wound up shopping the record around and actually got it on Warner Brothers, one of the things they recorded. And then he moved to L.A., and that's when he met Glenn Frey, and then they did a lot of stuff. And so on and on it goes. But sadly, now it is no more. So rest in peace, J.D. Souther. That was probably his biggest solo effort for sure on Columbia in 1979. All right, so 888-876-5593. And Laurie is in Chicago. So Laurie, what's up? We lost Laurie. Laurie had requests, and I was ready to hear them, too. But after the news, we'll come back with James and his 9 million stories. But one of them I found kind of interesting, I don't know, somebody might put a social or political tinge on this. I don't know, but I don't take it that way. And that is a woman who is banned from being in Miss America and therefore Miss World, because apparently they go together. Is suing, and she's got a lawyer, Gloria Allred, of course. And so, yeah, why should anyone be surprised at that? Yeah, and so why is she banned, and why is she suing? Well, that's the interesting part. It's because she has a child. And she said that, you know, therefore, she's not allowed to participate. And so we have, I was looking here a moment ago, I guess I've since lost it, but I had all of the criteria they had for Miss America. I got to find that again. But in any event, the deal is that it's obviously a private contest, and as far as that goes. And so they have a variety of rules, don't you know? And one of them is that you have to be single. Another one is that you can't have any dependents. In that case, we're talking children for the most part. So Gloria Allred is big saying, well, under these rules, mothers are banned from entering beauty pageants. And she's filing with the Commission on Human Rights in New York City, where the would-be contestant lives, Danielle Hazel. Now, it's somewhat moot because I don't know that Danielle Hazel has won any county or state or city championships. And obviously, one of the rules to be Miss America is you have to have first won a state contest. And so, but that said, after winning the state contest, you've got to be single. You've got to be between, 18 and 28, so 27 when you enter the contest as far as that goes, and you can't have any dependents. And so here is Gloria Allred saying that, she'll challenge this. Well, now, the interesting thing is she has some facts on her side as far as history. She actually filed this against Miss Universe and Miss USA, which are competing organizations, a discrimination suit filed in California, eliminated the 70-year-old rule, which was imposed through all the affiliated organizations from local to state to, of course, federal. And she's saying being a parent is not a crime, and so they're filing. But it's interesting because I look at it as, wait a minute, this is a private contest, isn't it? Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. So, 888-876-5593. We get to Tubby. She's checking in, and James on the South Side with all his stories. And hopefully you two coming up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
What a wonderful world this would be. There'd be no trouble and no strife, just a big happy life with a bluebird.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. More Patsy Cline, early Patsy Cline. Yeah, shoot the recording engineer for that one. 1958 on Decca, but James on the South Side remembered it fondly, and now he has heard it. We'll get to James here in moments, but we got Tubby in Chicago. Tubby, welcome back to WGN.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, how are you?
I can't complain. I seem to be getting a little better.
I can tell by the music you're playing. It sounds like grateful music.
Actually,
after it marinated you long enough, then you come back and say, okay, I'm grateful I'm through that part.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because mostly they're just requests, but I'll take it that way.
I know. It's just like when you were playing that Bossa Nova stuff.
Yeah.
Man, I'm serious. That one that you did play where the woman was singing,
yeah,
that just came out. I did not know that song.
Ah.
When she, the one where she was singing and Joe Beam was playing on the side.
Yep.
And when I was listening to it, I didn't even realize that he was doing the other part on it, okay?
Yeah.
And the more you listen to the music, you are just brilliant when it comes to music. But the more you listen to music and learn the different things. You know, I had told you I had learned a lot from Eddie Harris and Dizzy and L.D. Young. You know, having that relationship with those people backstage and feeding them and just hanging out and just have fun, they teach you a lot of things. But I had never met nobody like you, seriously.
Oh.
And my I have, and you know, when I'm saying this stuff, I'm not name dropping. I'm not talking about my whatever. But I tell you one thing, it is good to look back on some of that stuff, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It encourages me. And I wanted to encourage James. Hey, James, it's Shelby. I'm always thinking and praying for you. And also that gentleman that called about wanting the, I think it was the American Experience. He was talking about on PBS.
Uh-huh.
I was watching one of the, that in Frontline I really love.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to stay on too long. But it's PBS.org/to the right, okay? I'm not savvy when it comes to computers because, you know, it was past my time. I came along with, like, Julia Child was my mentor. I was a little kid sitting in front of the TV in Battle Creek, Michigan in black and white just watching her, just dazzled by Julia Child. And anyway, so, yeah, PBS.org/to the right, American Experience.
Okay.
And all that old stuff. And I always tell my friends, it's hard to keep up. There's so much to choose from these days. But now that they have all this stuff recorded, for me, it's kind of like you're going to be able to get your hands on it, okay?
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing, because it's all, like I was telling you, my library, personal library, that guy, there was a guy that used to do WBZ on Saturday night, and it was Latin music. I can't even remember the show. I used to tape his show. I used to tape when I didn't go to church, and Mary McFarland, jazz. And look, the one with Dizzy Gillespie, because I used to tape them all.
Yeah.
I met Dizzy Gillespie and hung out with him before I ever listened to the cassette of the interview, which was really interesting. And it was fun. But one reason I also wanted to call, I was thinking about it all week. I want to encourage people. I was listening to the woman who said, you know, about making friends and doing stuff. I have to remind her. I want to encourage people. You have to find out what it is that fits your mood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I spent my whole adolescence suicidal because my mom had left when I was 4 and a half. I was searching for something, did not know what it was. Mm-hmm. And then he put all these wonderful people in my life. Don't give up. Find your path. Do your thing. You know, I can always tell people, who are you going to bring to the table? If you're not bringing yourself, you ain't bringing nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to bring yourself and find out. Like I was saying, I like to read maps. When I get really, really bored, I found out that I really enjoy reading maps. And so when I watch these old crime stories, I used to listen to crime stories. And I really love Bill Curtis. And thank you for having Walter Jacobson on. That's a joy.
Okay.
But I used to listen to Walter when I really wanted to sleep good. I put on, who was the guy I just said? The guy I said before Walter Jason. I used to put on his stuff. He would be narrating the show.
Yeah.
And I just loved to listen to him. He really could do a good presentation. And these are the days that we have to keep, stay in there. Do your thing. Find your path. That, then you give something for people to emulate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's pretty much all I got. I want people to stay encouraged. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We got you, Raleigh. There ought to be more of you that gives these people, you know, I never say, like, he says, thank you for taking my call. Thank you. And you hear the honesty in his voice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The honesty and the gratefulness. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
We shouldn't be ungrateful about nothing. My gratefulness is not just in the morning and night anymore. It's just all day long. Okay, I got one thing for you. It's funny.
Yeah.
I used to tell people, I said, if somebody asked you, did you want a glass of water? Did you want the water yesterday or tomorrow? Remember when they charged the milk? Remember when they charged for a glass of water in New York City?
Yeah.
And I think that was so funny, but that's my original. You want some water right now.
Yes, right.
And there's so many people, they got cell phones, but they can't even get a glass of water.
True enough.
Bless you, my sister. Bless you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you and your man, y'all gone. And, you know, happy is free.
Yeah.
I keep telling people, happy is free. And you need to find out what makes you happy. Be good to people. Be nice to people. Be encouraging. Always be helpful. But be helpful to yourself, because there's good in everybody. I just get a kick out of you.
Well, that's great. It's always wonderful to hear from you, Tubby. Thank you.
Okay, well, you go on and you stay well for at least for a little while, okay? Yeah. We ain't got no control over these things, but you enjoy it while you got it, okay?
You betcha. Thanks.
To you and your sweetie. Okay, night-night.
Okay, bye. Always good to hear from Tubby. PBS.org/AmericanMasters will give you the archives. So, 888-876-5593. Oh, that's great. I'm starting to forget my phone number. It must be getting late. Jim on the north side, welcome to WGN Radio.
Good morning, Raleigh.
Hi, Jim.
Well, I want to add one more request to your series of requests today for polkas.
Okay.
There ain't no beer in heaven.
There ain't no beer in heaven. Okay.
Next line is that's why we drink it here.
Yes. We said about so many things, really. All right. Do you know who did that wonderful polka? Do you have any idea who the artist is?
It's been so long I haven't thought about it in so many years until the request came up on your stuff today, you know.
Well, I'm going to look for it, and if I can find it, you're going to hear it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
If you don't find it, I'll look myself also tomorrow morning.
I think I might have found it, actually, believe it or not. A guy named Ralph Siegel wrote it, and In Heaven There Ain't No Beer, and it's a polka song about the existential pleasures of drinking beer. All right. And it's in multiple languages, too. All right. And we have several versions, so I should be able to find it somewhere. Okay.
All right. That sounds great.
All right.
That's
great. Thanks. All right. Good deal. Appreciate
That's all
it.
I have tonight.
All right.
Okay.
So, yes, Ralph Siegel wrote this. All right. Yeah. In Heaven There Ain't No Beer, 1956. I think he wrote it as In Himmel Gibst Kein Bier. All right, so I'll look for English lyrics. I think it'll help us all. All right, so let's see. Let's get Lori's requests here. So, Lori, you have requests, do you? Lori? Or did Lori give up? Well, it probably would be the wise thing to do. So call me back tomorrow night because there's a full show tomorrow night. James coming up next on WGN Radio.
The world I used to someday some old familiar rain will come along and know my name, and then my shelter will be gone, and I'll have to move along. But till I do, I'll stay a while and track the hidden country of your smile. Someday the man I used to be will come along and call on me. And then because I'm just a man, you'll find my feet are made of sand. But till that time, I'll tell you lies and chart the hidden boundaries of your eyes. Someday the world I used to know will come along and bid me go. Then I'll be leaving you behind.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1964 on Dot, my favorite Jimmy Rogers record by far. He would have turned 91 years old today. Born in Camas, Washington in 1933 and died in 2021, 87 years old. And a miracle he made it that long, considering how he was beaten and left for dead in 1967 in a story that's not ever fully been solved. But yeah, there are those of us who put Moish Levy in there somewhere. All right, but regardless, rest in peace. And and thanks for the music. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we have James on the south side. All right, so James, do not send me videos. I just looked at something you sent.
Okay.
And I've decided. We have a new rule here. Three stories a day and make them be killer stories. That's it. All right.
Okay.
The reason I say that is so much of this is unusable that you're adding to the glut of email I get. So pick three killer ones. So now with that in mind, let me ask you, what was your favorite?
Okay. My favorite was, one of my favorites was the one where the woman drops off her kid at preschool and then finds where her husband goes and picks him up.
Yeah. That was great. Yes, and I understand now that the child is back in preschool and staying there. But yes, softy dad was upset that the kid was crying, and so he snuck back in and picked him up. Yes. What else you got?
Yeah, that one made my day.
Yeah.
Because there were so many ones that were like, oh. I said, what is this, blood and death and destruction? I'm just thinking that this group is being put together by a guy responsible for Eve of Destruction.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Barry Maguire. You're right. It was everything from, yes, go ahead in Indianapolis, call for that Uber, as long as you don't mind being raped and murdered. But, of course, I found that interesting when the guy who did the murdering actually not only admitted to the rape and murder, but said that he had to kill her after she dissed his body. Well, I don't know about you, but in that situation, I wouldn't be critiquing my attacker.
But guess what? Okay. Basically, when he goes, they'll be basically in prison, basically doing the same thing.
Well, there is that. And then there was the Pennsylvania woman who was a victim of domestic violence, who actually, this is time not to diss public transportation, because what saved her is she was stabbed 37 times, but she ran outside and a bus was there. She ran into the bus, and the driver was smart enough to close the doors before her husband could come and stab her again.
Yeah, and that one, oh, kudos to the public, to the bus driver.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it reminded me years ago there was that Bill Cosby routine. They put a nut in every car. I can't even imagine being the passengers on this bus, like, showtime. So, yes.
Although, you want to know, the only thing about that unfortunately, that was kind of craziness, violence thing, remind me too much of what had happened to my father, who was a bus driver.
Really?
It was a little over 60 years ago that he got shot. He was a bus driver. He got shot on a bus.
You're kidding.
He waited for a passenger this passenger being passed up by another bus. And if this bus he had was a brand new bus. I still remember the number. He remembered it to his dying day.
Now, by the way, you say dying day. He didn't die from the shooting, did he?
Oh, no. Okay. He lived till he was almost 80, 2 months shy of his 85th birthday.
Okay, good.
2017.
Good. All right.
But he lost an eye.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, the guy was an ex-con.
Well, no surprise there, is there?
Yeah, and was 9 years older.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Yeah. Anyway, and then stepped over his body and pulled the exit door thing to get out.
Oh, God.
Bus ended up going to stop here to a lamppost.
Oh, jeez.
The bus to I had the irony of actually seeing the bus as a high school senior.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it happened. And I told is that it was still running. At that point, that was 18 years almost.
Wow. Wow. Jeez. Well, sorry he had to go through that. That's just horrible, but glad he survived it.
Yeah. Last week would have been his 92nd birthday.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, good. He obviously had a good long life, though a little bit too adventurous there for a while. Wow.
Yeah, he was in the Navy Korean War bit.
Ah, isn't that interesting? He came through Korea without a problem, gets it on the bus. Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I know that you're getting close to
yes.
That, so I better put my request in.
Yes, what you want?
Okay, we're going to say it. Okay, Patsy Cline, You Belong to Me.
Okay.
Okay, Hawkshaw Hawkins, Nickel in the Jukebox.
Okay.
And Streets of Bakersfield.
Oh.
Either bit version.
Okay, you got it. All right, good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it, James.
Okay, you take care.
All right, thanks. Now, I've got waning moments here, but Isaac wants to chime in right before the show is over, and he's going to do that. So, Isaac from the South Side, welcome back to WGN Radio. And we lost Isaac. All right, well, there's tomorrow night, and hopefully he'll call earlier and call tomorrow night, and hopefully you will too. And I think on that note, it's pretty much sayonara time. Yes, that's a wrap. So we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Do it again 21 hours from now. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.